From the studios of 2RPH in Sydney, this is 30 Laps with Deek. I'm Richard Lyon. Welcome to the show. Street races and ghost squads this week, under the cover of darkness in South Africa. Stay tuned for this story from the streets of Cape Town. Also, you crawled before you walk, you walked before you could run. How about the car before the car? This week in 30 Laps. Well, that just makes no sense. Well, if you take the American Presidential Experience sale in the US in election week this year, you can own the car before the car. Staying with the ghost scene, you could own the Lincoln JFK used in Fort Worth, Texas on the morning of November 22 before flying on to Dallas and his untimely demise. So, the car before the car he took his last ride in. Plus some other strange presidential items up for grabs. Feel the rocket's red glare this week at the House of Laps. But without any further ado, let's head to Road and Track magazine and inside South Africa's illegal street racing scene. At night in Cape Town, illegal street racers take on the Ghost Squad, a crew of elite highway cops. Buckle up for the South Africans' wild war on speed. This was written August 3, 2020, by Tim Struby. He writes, "It is late afternoon in Sea Point, a suburb of Cape Town, South Africa, and one by one all cars roll into Queen's Beach parking lot. Toyota Corollas, Honda Civics, BMW 318s and M3s, Audi Quattros and Volkswagen Golf Mark 6, 7 and 7.5S. Models range from the mid-80s to the modern-day showroom colours of midnight black, porcelain white, platinum silver and vermilion red. They are lowered suspension, hidden turbocharged, modern, modified, engine control units all gleaming, exhaust, hood scoops, rear spoilers, tinted windows, engines all with baritone growl or mezzo-soprano scream. As the asphalt lot fills up, it becomes readily clear that the cars are all built for one purpose, speed. But nobody drives faster than a crawl. On the speck of Cape Town's coastline, the car owners have come for their Sunday cool down. It's a weekly tradition where locals smoke hookers, puff joints, and sip beers. Who could blame them? Here, the virtual bottom of the world, the view is breathtaking. Waves crash onto rocks, water stretches out endlessly, and a pink-orange sunset spreads over the horizon like neon cake frosting. Yet, as night fades, the mood takes a turn. The energy amps up because for many of these car owners, weekends in Cape Town are about racing. Illegal racing. There's a massive culture here, says Junaid Hamoud, a former street racer turned private driving instructor. From blazing through traffic on the N1 motorway to drag racing, a.k.a. robot racing, along Standfontein Road, Cape Town, has more than 30 hotspots that fire up on Friday, Saturday and Sunday nights. By midnight, the denizens of the Queen's Beach parking lot have reconvened at the Shell station on Sable Road. With 40 cars parked, bumper to bumper, the theatrics begin. The posturing, the boasting, the trash-talking. Finally, a challenge is thrown down between two drivers. A run on the N1. A national highway that originates in downtown Cape Town and stretches clear to the border of Zimbabwe. Heavily travelled in Cape Town by day, relatively empty by night. Everyone jumps into their cars to watch the action. As the Shell station empties out, it's clear that despite their differences of race, religion, and economics, these competitors all have at least one common strand in their DNA. They all know the risks. Crashes, hospital visits, body bags, not to mention the infamous Ghost Squad, Cape Town's task force designated to lock up turbocharged outlaws. But the young men disregard the dangers and the consequences. The reasons they race are diverse and complex as South Africa itself. For those with jobs and expendable cash, they do it for street cred or for the rush. For others, mired in poverty and crime and hopelessness, racing means freedom and a small way to give their lives meaning. The suburb of Maitland lies to the east of central Cape Town. There's nothing picturesque here. Factories, machine shops and warehouses line the streets of this industrial neighbourhood. A garage called Performance Solutions sits near the end of a narrow block. It doesn't look like much. It's a simple blue and white sign above a concrete space that fits little more than a single car. But the street races cross the Western Cape. Well, those with enough money and connections know the nondescript shop is the place. Cape Town's Performance Solutions Speed Shop is owned by Sirav Rylands, who built the Toyota Supra that is seen almost every week. One afternoon, 38-year-old named Nassim, who goes only by his first name, stands on the sidewalk out front. Sinewy and close-cropped hair, he wears jeans, a black t-shirt and sneakers. Nassim is of mixed race. When he speaks, it's with a thick accent of mix of English and Afrikaans. "That's my car," says Nassim, pointing to the black 2001 soft-top M3 in the Performance Solutions garage. He bought the car in January 2019, and he street races when the BMW hasn't been in the shop for bodywork. He flipped it, you see, or rear suspension issues. "It's a hobby," he says, "a hobby that's got him locked up twice by the Ghost Squad." Nassim's construction gig pays well enough, and he swapped out his BMW engine for a Toyota Supra 2J GTE twin-turbo 3-litre inline-six. The swap cost 30,000 rand, which is about $1,700, but he happily paid as the 2JZ is akin to the Holy Grail. "2JZ engine," says Jesse, "is a wonderful thing. The character played by Chad Lindbergh in the original Fast and Furious. This will decimate all." This 2JZ is renowned for its strength, but what makes the engine legendary in that the hands of the right tuner, it will transform a car from something special to something spectacular. That's why Nassim has come to Maitland. "I'm not a mechanic," he admits, "so when I do something, I take it to the right people." By right people, Nassim means Siraj Rylands, owner of Performance Solutions. The 45-year-old is the Michelangelo of Cape Town tuners, the Jedi Master, a man known to create art and music under the hood. "He's the most hated guy because he's the right guy," laughs Nassim. "They all want to kick his ass." A BMW owner named Lakeek lays down a patch. Like many former British colonies, South Africans drive on the left-hand side of the road, so the cars are right-hand drive. Born and raised in Cape Town, Rylands started racing in high school. Every night he'd go out in his modified little Toyota Corolla, looking to test the car's limits and to test his own. Rylands tells a story that from the early 2000s, when he came across an E46 BMW M3, it was a near-new car on the road, he said. I just wanted to race with that. The two drivers went to Pinelands, another to Eastern Cape, and Rylands edged the Beamer into their first run on the N2. It was such a thrill that the two men wound up racing over and over until they had no fuel left. It was raw fun, he recalls. Rylands stopped real racing a decade ago and focuses on the 20 or so clients he calls his family. They range from guys like Nassim, trying to squeeze some more power out of an engine for a reasonable cost, to a Toyota Supra owner who wanted the best of everything, no matter the cost. Rylands explains which that included 50,000 RAN, intake manifold, a high-performance exhaust, custom fibre parts and a turbocharger. I built it 4 years ago, Ryland says of this Toyota. It was the fastest car in Cape Town. Nassim and Rylands discuss the M3. According to the dynamometer, impressively, Ryland has one crammed into his tiny shop, the engine is currently putting out about 450 brake horsepower. But Nassim craves more. The tuner isn't precisely sure how much more he can crank out of the 2JZ, but he knows he can get something. The M3 will be faster. Nassim is pleased, yet still, he explains, anxious. Not about Ryland's abilities, but about how fast he can get it done. I hope I can have it by Saturday, says Nassim. It's my favourite time to race. January 26, 2019. On this warm, cloudless Saturday night, the scene at the Stable Road Shell station has got going early, wall to wall with the usual Golfs and Quattros and BMWs, not to mention a few big dogs, a Porsche GT3, a Benz V12, a McLaren, and the Botha brothers, Tyron 22 and Dean 21, and their pal Merlin Patterson 21, were particularly amped up because Tyron's 318i had just gotten tuned. Everyone pulled up that night and expected good races, says Dean, looking back on it. No one expected that accident. They expected good races because Tariq Carr was there in his BMW M3. The 26-year-old was fast and fearless. The King of Sable Road, as he called himself, had come that night with his wife, Amaria, and their two children. She wanted to race with him, recalls Dean. He said, hell no. The first time that Tariq ran the N1 that night, the King of Sable Road strengthened his street cred. Tariq didn't just beat the guy, explains Tyran, he destroyed him. Customarily, drivers meet their friends on the bridge after the race, but Tariq didn't show, which only meant one thing. The drivers were going to run again.
Keep an eye on my blind spot. There's too many. Keep looking for some light, but there isn't any. Was top dead center, babe. Now my motor's gone soft.
The second time, Tariq was smoking his competition again. Yet, as the two races neared the Sable Road overpass, Tariq's M3 suddenly wobbled, then slid across three northbound lanes, hit a barricade, went airborne, and slammed into the underside of a bridge, and wound up in the far lane of the southbound N1. It felt like an earthquake, says Tyron. The whole bridge vibrated, and there was dust and debris, and then you saw the car on the other side of the highway. By some miracle, there weren't any southbound cars in the vicinity of the N1 at that moment, but the King of Sable Road was still in trouble. He used his voice command feature of his BMW to call for help. He later described the moment from his hospital bed. I looked down into a pool of blood. There was blood gushing out of my legs, like a tap that was turned open. While Tariq survived, his legs did not. They were amputated. The entire accident might have been wound up as no more than a story in the local newspapers, if not for two videos of the horrific crash. One was shot from the Sable Road overpass, the other from inside Tariq's car, courtesy of Imran Ibrahim, who was at the who was in the car and somehow managed to walk away unscathed. The videos surfaced almost immediately and went viral. Illegal street racing became the talk of Cape Town. Editorials were penned, television news studios were produced. City officials vowed to crack down on harshly. One would think the violent crash in the aftermath would have put a dampener on the street racing. Did it? It doesn't appear so, admits Alderman J.P. Smith, who serves on the Cape Town Mayoral Committee on Safety and Security. He says it's still alive and well. In a small, windowless conference room on the ground floor of the Gallows Hill Traffic Department, what a great name, Traffic Department in the Greenpoint suburb of Cape Town, a bulletin board hangs from a wall. Every inch of the board is covered in Cape Town newspaper clippings, and the headlines reveal a consistent theme. Slamming the brakes on drag racing. Capital City is trying to cut down. Driver is critical after highway crash. Ghost Squad hunts drag racers in the mother city. The Ghost Squad is a name that strikes the fear into the heart of any illegal Cape Town street racer. As well it should. Tonight, a little before 8 p.m, a squad of police officers gathers in the parking lot at the back of the Traffic Department building for their pre-shift briefing. Here at their de facto Hall of Justice, they dress in light and dark blue pants, vests, jackets and shirts with purple shoulder patches. They talk amongst themselves, occasionally smile, but the mood is serious. As every night they're on the job is another night they may not come home. Founded in 2009, the Ghost Squad originally consisted of 12 officers with one goal, making the streets safer. Their secret weapon? Unmarked police cars, which until that point had never been used in Cape Town. That's why they call themselves the Ghost Squad. They lurk on the highways unseen. Today, the Ghost Squad is nearly doubled in size. Their 30-plus vehicle fleet, some have engines modified. They feature Golfs, Opals, Lexuses and Honda motorcycles. While they now average 8,000 traffic offences a month, a 400% increase from the squad's inception, their real goal is shutting down guys like Nassim and Tariq. Drag racing becomes the specific target of the squad, explains J.P. Smith. They generate more and more complaints. Smith knows of what he speaks because he's responsible for the Ghost Squad. That's my baby, he says proudly. If the officers are akin to Wild West deputies chasing outlaws, then the tall and blonde-haired Smith is Wyatt Earp. He's confident, fearless and respected. He's the boss of Cape Town, says one street racer. Like Earp, Smith was also once an outlaw himself. When I was younger and more reckless, I was not committed to holding up the law, he says in his Afrikaans accent. I used to go with my brother into the freeways at 1 a.m. I used to grieve for the guys when the traffic department got them. Now it's my duty to get them. Getting them, according to Smith, remains a constant cat-and-mouse game. Still, the line between the good guys and the bad guys is not always so clear. There are stories of these officers pushing the boundaries of the law. Former street racer Junaid Hamid recalls a night driving home from an event at the Kalani International Raceway. Although the sports car Hamid drove had a flashy rear wing and no roof, it was completely street legal. And he wasn't speeding. I saw a guy in a Lexus start following me, says Hamid. He pulled up next to me, got going forward and backward, trying to get me to race. As he looked closer, Hamid noticed a jacket covering a uniform, a Ghost Squad uniform. He tried to entrap me the whole way, explains Hamid. After 5 minutes from my house, he pulled me over and he gave me a fine. But if I'd raced him, he would have arrested me and impounded the car. On some occasions, according to Nassim, the ghost squad is actually welcome. Or a welcome sight, I should say. Most drivers and spectators in the racing scene embrace outlaw culture only when it comes to speed. But not everyone. Some guys at races come to sell drugs. Some will rob you. That's how it goes here, Nassim says. You have to keep your head up at all times, especially in the wee hours of the morning. If your car breaks down and you're alone, you're in trouble. In that moment, sometimes you're glad to see Ghost Squad. On a cool, breezy Sunday, thousands of Cape Townians pour into the Killarney International Raceway Complex for Bragging Lights CPT. CPT, of course, stands for Cape Town. A day-long auto event presented by the Western Province Motor Club. The tar oval section of the track is dedicated to pro-am, drifting. Show and Shine, an auto show, and it lets fans get up close with pristine, custom, stance and hot rod builds. On Killarney's backstretch, 67 dragsters from across the Western Cape and Johannesburg are facing off in the quarter mile. Teams with names like Bogeyman, Killer Bee, Megatron and Menace to Society. Suspect is here, and so is Cerive Rylands. All the racetrack sensory pleasures are to be found, the smell of gasoline and scorched rubber. The thunder of engines is throttling. The crowd is overwhelmingly male, in shorts, with baseball caps and sunglasses, smoking hookah pipes and barbecuing. Ghost Squad cops are here too, as is Wyatt Earp himself, J.P. Smith, glad-handed and chatting up familiar faces. The two worlds, the law and the lawbreakers, amicably mingle today. But Smith hopes for more than a moment of shared passion. He seeks a long-lasting reconciliation, much like the one South Africa itself went through in the 90s when apartheid collapsed. A few years ago, we got into discussions with some guys at the streets in the street scene. An alternative was proposed. In March 2016, Killarney began hosting robot racing. Every Sunday night, weather permitting, anyone can pay 70 Rand, which is about $4, to race his or her car on the same asphalt where Formula One legend Sir Stirling Moss once competed. It attracts 300 cars and 5,000 people on a good night. We're trying to make as many legal opportunities as possible. There's been talk of extending the track to build a longer runoff, subsidising entry fees and bumping up robot racing to twice a week.
The table over, thought I saw a ghost come out of the clover. She lived in this house 40 odd years or so.
Ghosts everywhere this week, it would appear, hey? Substituting the track for the short street circuit makes total sense. Medical personnel on hand, no unexpected traffic or pedestrians or ghost squad to worry about. The crowds packing the blue and white grandstands along the back stretch starting line are far more than you could ever cram into the Sable Road overpass. Still, drivers like the Botha brothers contend that robot racing isn't the mecca that the lawmakers make it out to be. It's pricey, says Dean. We don't want to have to pay. There are a limited amount of races, adds Tyron. The two also claim the track is too narrow, that the cars are required to line up too close to each other, and that the asphalt has perilous, uneven patches. But more likely reason is the Bothas still thrive on the street racing culture, and they haven't converted to robot racing at Killarney. It's the very essence of what it means to be an outlaw. Freedom, thrills, risk, defining life on their terms, no matter the cost. Some people just enjoy being on the street scenes, admits Smith, being chased by the traffic department. Around 4 p.m., Bragging Rights CPT comes to a close with the final drag race. because Team Suspect suffered engine problems, the bragging rights on this day belonged to local Ralph Cumbia in a time of 8.9 seconds in his Chevy Camaro. Gradually, the sea of spectators and teams clear out from the racetrack grounds. And finally, there is silence. But it won't last. In a few hours, with dusk turning to night, the engines will once again fire up across the city as drivers race through the streets. It is, after all, Sunday in Cape Town. And that gives us a brief look at the racing, legal and illegal, the street racing scene in Cape Town. And it came from Road and Track magazine, and it was written by Tim Strube. Inside South Africa's illegal street racing scene. Which means we've run out of time for our car before the car. So we'll do the car before the car in the next couple of weeks. It's a interesting auction, that one. There's some weird stuff that you can buy. How about this for a must-have? A replica of the Kennedy-era Air Force One, which is also being sold at Bonhams later this month. We said there were some other presidential items, and we couldn't resist sharing a few. The 46-long-foot tribute is the work of Steve Canaby and his team at New Tech Aircraft Instruments, using a Boeing 707 fuselage retrofitted to replicate the SAM 26000, which was JFK's Air Force One. Something to look forward to in the next couple of weeks at 30 laps. Yeah, sorry about that. Just ran out of time. Too busy in Cape Town doing legal and illegal racing. I hope you enjoyed that interesting story from the Cape, and we will pursue other types of racing, of course, in programs to come. 30 Laps with Dick is written and produced in the Sydney studios of 2RPH in Sydney. I sure hope you enjoyed the show this afternoon as much as I enjoyed bringing it to you. Thank you very much for your time and sharing half an hour with me, and I look forward very much to your company next week when we'll talk about something completely different. I'm not sure what yet. Maybe the presidential election that you have, a presidential sale that you have when you're having an election. Anyway, until next week, thanks for listening. Bye for now.